You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that wants to remind you, be careful what you wish for. Because maybe it'll be a monkey's paw situation and it'll come out, you know, a little weird.
More times than not. Monkey's paw or possibly a pet cemetery situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not quite right.
We're talking about the Nintendo Direct that we forced into existence.
Yeah, we willed into existence. But much like the movie Multiplicity, sometimes the clones come out a little wrong.
But that's for later in the
show. That's for later in the show. Who are you, by the way? Voice in the void.
Oh, I'm Cody.
And I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been...
Check it out!
That was the loosiest and goosiest intro we've done in a long time.
I know, but, and it felt good, though.
Yeah.
It felt good. The loose and the goose felt good.
Sometimes it's good to get a nice goosing.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, I'll go ahead and do my check-ins real quick. I just started a game that just came out, I want to say, less than a week ago, which is odd because I'm usually not the one that plays the brand new games.
Yeah, it came out on, like, Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's really new. It's called Panzer Paladin, and it is kind of a retro throwback game by Tribute Games. Is that correct?
And they do almost exclusively retro throwback type games.
Yeah, so this game, it looks like an old 8-bit game. Or actually, the first vibe I got from it was a really, really high-quality Game Boy Color game, which is really kind of cool, like the palettes and everything.
Yeah, like late Nintendo.
Late Nintendo, yeah. Late early Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah, but this game is essentially a side-scrolling slash-em game where you are in control of a giant robot named Grit who can pick up basically any sword-type weapon that gets dropped by enemies that you attack. It's kind of like Mega Man, a little bit.
Almost Kirby.
Almost a little bit Kirby-esque as well, yeah. But so you're fighting your way through 17 or so stages with Mega Man-like bosses at the end.
They all seem to be like kind of mythical creature themed.
They're all based on various mythical creatures. There's stuff, really recognizable stuff like the Medusa and things like that. There are also really obscure ones like the Baba Yaga and some that I can't even...
There was a skeleton.
There's some Skeleman. Yeah, there's a giant skeleton man. One of the neat mechanics of this game is at any point during the game, your pilot can actually hop out of your robot and you're real tiny on the screen and you can run around and fit into like areas that are specifically just for your smaller pilot and then can summon your robot in later areas. It's a really cool mechanic. I dig it quite a bit.
It's a lot like Blaster Master Zero.
Yes.
Which is also a very good 8-bit style game you can get on your Switch.
Yeah, but I'm really digging this. There's some really good cutscenes that make it look like an old 80s action anime kind of feel to it. There's a guy that looks an awful lot like someone from, or like Hydern from SNK Fighting Games.
Oh, yeah, okay. I forgot who
Ikari
that was.
Warriors,
like yeah.
The Ikari Warriors boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really fun and really cool looking. Music is excellent.
Oh yeah, it's really, it really slaps.
It does. It does. It is good stuff. But yeah, that's really kind of all I've been checking out this week. Oh no. I take it back. I do have one other thing, but you guys go ahead while I collect my thoughts.
What do we want to do first? Did we watch any movies? I can't remember. We watched a Cronenberg.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you watched a Cronenberg.
We watched Scanners.
Oh, nice. When that guy's head explodes.
Yeah, that happens like 15 minutes in.
It does.
It's all downhill from there.
It kind of is.
No, it's a good. It was actually a good movie. Good. We've watched a handful of Cronenbergs, and they can be kind of slow.
Yes.
This one wasn't.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well,
for sure.
But compared to the other ones, mm-hmm. this one wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun psychic warfare movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that head exploded. I don't know how they did that. That's crazy. It looks like a real head explosion, I imagine.
They did a very good job with it. Yeah. You can see why, even today, the scanner's head explosion scene is still referenced in pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, it is that good.
And, I mean, it's not a whole lot to say about it, really. I mean, guy's psychic. He's got to find the other psychics. He's got to beat the big, bad psychic man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that complicated, but it's interesting.
I would say if Scanners was any bigger, it almost seems like something Kojima would try to rip off in one of his games.
Yes, it does. It like, absolutely does.
Yeah. Oh, no, this version of Solid Snake is a psychic military man, yeah, and he's got to fight his brother's psychic man.
It is very similar now that I think about it. I'm sure he's pulled from it somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure he has. Yeah.
I'm surprised Psycho Mantis doesn't get a nosebleed.
Yeah, well, yeah. But cool. Yeah, Scanners. It's a good one. It's classic.
Definitely, yeah, on the top end of the Cronenberg movies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, for sure.
Better than Rabid. Better than Dead Ringers.
Yeah. I haven't seen the first one you had mentioned, but Dead Ringers, yeah, not a huge fan of that one.
I mean, it was cool. I would like to see the Soska sisters remake Dead Ringers instead of Rabid.
Well,
like
yeah.
Like they did. I mean, it would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then they would also have to star in it, and they don't generally star in their own... they're always in their own movies, but they're not the main characters.
Yeah.
Except for the one, but... except for the one where they absolutely are. I did say I would talk about Paper Mario after I played it more.
Yes.
And I've definitely played a lot more, and it's great. It's fantastic.
Oh, good. Good.
The writing is hilarious and good. The battle system, I think, really works. It's not as involved. Well, I don't want to say involved, because it's involved just in a different way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It is definitely more puzzle-focused. It's more about lining up those enemies in a certain number of moves instead of just being all out, like, you use this attack now. And like, in some ways, it is deeper than the other games, because as RPG games, the other Paper Marios were, like, the simplest you could get.
Oh, really?
They like barely qualify for RPG, really. I mean, the numbers don't go above like 10 to 25. Like,
yeah.
They're real slight RPGs. And this is even more pared down than that RPG wise, but the puzzle aspect, I think, brings something different to it. And they don't load up on the battles a whole lot. They pace them really well.
Because
there's a lot of like, other stuff that happens combat-wise that aren't RPG battles. There's big paper mache bad guys that you basically have like action-based encounters with.
Nice.
Where they have a weak point on them and you gotta like sneak around and hit them in the back with your hammer or something like that. And the boss fights are completely different, where instead of Mario being in the center and you rotate the bad guys on the rings to get them in line, in the boss battles, the boss is in the center, and you rotate the rings around the boss to line up arrows to get Mario to walk the right way and end on the right panel to attack the boss in the right location.
Interesting. No, that sounds really cool. That's really kind of innovative, or not innovative, but like, it's interesting. It's different.
Yeah, and the boss battles end up being really fun because of it, and finding the boss's weakness and the right way to navigate Mario around these rings is really fun.
Oh, nice. Well, very cool.
And it has stats in the background, but it never, like, is upfront about what they are. Like, that's not important. They don't want to show the player, like,
this is
Mario's attack points. Like, every time you get an HP up heart that makes your max HP up higher, it also cranks up Mario's, like, attack stats in the background. So you are growing as a character as the game goes. It's just not...
It doesn't put the focus on number go big.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, very neat.
And as you get further, the battles you would have to do in the past, you can just end them in one hit on the map screen.
Oh, cool.
Like Earthbound did back in the day.
Yeah.
But it's just really good, and it's really funny, And the art is really good. A lot of fun, like, 2D art of old Mario characters you haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, neat.
Like the Reznors from Super Mario World.
Oh, the Reznors are back. Excellent. Excellent.
And all of the, like, normal Mario bad guys that are paper are not bad guys. You can just talk to them and see what they're up to.
Oh, really?
Like, all the bad guys are the folded origami versions of the Mario bad guys.
Interesting.
So it's kind of fun to just go up and, you know, talk to a Sniffit, see what they're doing, because they're not a bad guy in this situation.
Huh. Interesting. But no, that's really cool. That but sounds like a lot of fun.
I thoroughly recommend it.
Oh, really?
It's very, good. Very good.
Good. Cool.
You know, it may be not as good as the old ones. I don't know. Don't really need to compare it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it sounds like it's similar but different enough in the combat and all those things that it can be a totally standalone kind of thing.
And it doesn't have, like, the huge, like, weird flaws in it the last couple games did, where it's like you were collecting all these resources that you would use during battles. But the battles didn't give you anything, so the best thing to do was just avoid them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, they were basically broken. This one is not. You're always getting coins to spend on different items, and it works, and it's good. And if you're on the fence about it, this is me saying, absolutely get it.
Would you say this gets your...
seal of approval, yes. Thanks, Jerry.
So, yeah, okay, so the other thing that I checked out, I know last week I said I would watch the movie Money Plane starring WWE's The Edge and also Kelsey Grammer. I didn't watch it. I thought about it long and hard again, and I'm almost concerned at this point that I've built this movie up in my brain that the movie is going to be worse no matter what it is, because it's not... what I'm picturing, a movie where WWE's The Edge, who looks like a buffed out drummer for the Foo Fighters, is stealing money from a casino plane run by Joey Lawrence. Did I mention Joey Lawrence is in it?
No, you did
Joey
not.
Joey Lawrence and also his brother, middle actor Lawrence.
Middle Lawrence.
Middle Lawrence child. They are both in it. So I will watch that this weekend. What I did instead was... so there's a YouTuber named Jenny Nicholson. She does a lot of...
pop culture criticism?
I guess that's the best way to describe it. It's a lot of her just sitting and talking directly to her camera. Which, I mean, I guess is kind of a genre on YouTube, I suppose. But she picks kind of interesting topics. A lot of times it's like Star Wars... or that one where she talked about the Avatar land at Disney's Magic Kingdom for like an hour.
She always has really good critical insight
she does.
Into things, though.
She does. And she put out a video a week or so ago about the last BronyCon. Now, I have gone on record many times, many, many times on this show. I am not a pony fan. I don't care. I worse than dislike My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. I have no feelings. I am completely devoid of feeling for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. And probably, you know, as an animated show, I'm sure it's totally fine. I mean, Lauren Faust is a great animator, and I'm sure there's some really fun stories. But I would say it is 95% the fanned culture around that particular show built up in such a way that made me knee-jerk want to go, no, 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 keep it away from me.
I think Josh was the only true brony on
I believe Josh was the only one. Well, he's the only one that we mocked for it.
I mean,
anyway.
I'm not going to lie and say I didn't watch the show. I watched quite a few episodes of the show. It's fine.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you and Josh both have a really good... and I mean, I guess I do too, to some extent. But you guys have a really good appreciation for animation. My appreciation for animation does not mesh with... does not work well when there is a culture built up around a show. Like, of the three of us, I'm like one of the most likely to go... this has a weird toxic community around it, and I don't want any part of that in my life. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and there was a time when the brony community wasn't toxic.
There was
a time when it was just fun.
Yeah.
But that was quick to disappear.
It was. Yeah. And this documentary, I want to call it a documentary, although
it's an hour long.
It's an hour long, yeah. It goes into that. It goes real deep into that. And you could tell that it is a topic that Nicholson really cares about and is really knowledgeable of. And she did her homework. And also, apparently, she was, as she coined the phrase, horse famous, because before she started doing her talk to the camera, whatever, pop culture analysis videos, she did a number of parody videos of My Little Pony and was known in those circles.
Yeah, that's what it's called when you're famous within that community. It's called being horse famous.
Horse famous.
Which is hilarious.
It is pretty funny. Yeah, gotta admit, that's pretty funny. But it's an interesting watch to see how a community like that built around it and how it started in probably one of the most toxic areas of the internet, that being 4chan. And it started as an ironic thing that turned into a legitimate love for the show that these people had. And also a sex thing for some of them.
It's 4chan, so.
It went beyond 4chan as well.
Well, there was a time when 4chan was fun, too, and that didn't last very long.
Yeah. But if you're at all interested, not even as a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic thing, but just to kind of see how a rabid fandom grows organically. Because they go into that quite a bit as well, and it's an interesting watch.
And apparently that documentary that's on Netflix is trash.
Yeah, I didn't know Q from Star Trek did it.
Yeah, he did, and apparently he's a huge jerk.
Yeah,
Jenny did not make him sound like a cool dude.
No, not at all. Not at all. On the flip side, I guess Tara Strong, who's the voice of insert pony name here,
it's Twilight Sparkle.
Is it okay? Well. Is that the purple one?
Yeah, that's the main character of the
okay.
show.
Okay. Well, she's the voice of that. She's a voice actress, and apparently she is a huge... She loves her fans, and legitimate.
That's with not people. Surprising.
Yeah. Well, she's the new Harley Quinn voice when it's not Kaylee Cuoco, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that makes sense, because she also cares. She dresses up at cons like Harley Quinn a lot. As well.
She seems like a genuinely good person. She does a lot of charity stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I meant by that.
Works a lot with neurodivergent people.
Yeah, that's cool. John Delancey, on the other hand, seems like a real tool bag.
He saw the brony thing and then saw dollar signs.
Yeah.
From the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah. And that was one of the most shocking things from this.
Yeah, I'd always assumed he was cool because Q is cool, but no.
No, he's super not. Anyway, that's the other thing I checked out. So, your turn. Go for it.
I can't believe I watched that whole video, too. It is like seriously like an hour.
It's
maybe
like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long one.
But it held my attention the whole time. And that story about that fire that started in the dealer's room at one of the Brony cons.
Yep.
One of the light fixtures just burst into flame. And there's video of it, and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. And by the time they all came back, they were selling merch. Someone had started making merch of the BronyCon fire.
Yeah.
Like, that quick.
And it wasn't like a fire. It was a light fixture that was...
Just sparking.
Sparking. Like, it wasn't a dangerous fire.
Yeah, yeah. But,
Oh, what else? You want to talk about Ooblets?
Mm-hmm.
We both put a lot of time into Ooblets the past couple of days. Ooblets is a farming / monster collecting, I guess that's it. It's farming and monster collecting game that just came out on Xbox and on the Epic Game Store.
Oh, okay.
It's still in early access, so yeah, there's a lot of bugs.
there's a lot of stuff that's just not there yet. But it's really, really addicting because it combines the same addiction of collecting Pokemon with the addiction of Stardew Valley.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I cannot play this game.
And the graphics are absolutely, like, adorable. It has, like, this really...
The whole thing is adorable.
Yeah. Everything has, like, goofy, cutesy names that are funny.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Give me a good one. What's a funny name of something? Well, like the one character's name, instead of Ingrid, her name is Outgrid.
Okay, that's pretty funny. That's pretty cute.
There's Animal Crossing in there too, because you got a house and you can put your furniture in there and you can dress up your character.
Oh,
and
talk to all the townspeople.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
Become friends with them. They give you gifts.
I can't do it. I can't get into that game.
Oh, you'll like it.
I bet I would. I would sink way too much time and energy into it.
They don't fight. The monsters don't fight. They have dance battles. They have card mechanics.
Oh.
And, well, it's not really deck building. It's just every monster has a set of cards that go into your deck.
Okay.
So you're not, like, sorting a bunch of cards, because that's lame. Oh, that's
good. Yeah, that's lame.
They just give you, like, four or something.
Yeah, every monster has a set number of cards, and as they level up, they get more that are better.
Oh, okay.
And the whole point of the dance battle is to collect a set number of points, mm-hmm. and whoever gets there first wins. So you play, like, this card gives me 5 points, or this card lets me steal 3 points from you.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Right on.
It's a hype card that makes all the...
Yeah, all your point values go up by one by how many hype cards you've played.
Mm.
So the only problem with it is the AI... is seemingly non-existent on the opponents.
Oh, really?
It seems like they're just playing cards at random. Sometimes they'll play ones that literally don't do anything. But we made it sound a lot more complicated than it is. It's not complicated.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's cool. But no, this game sounds amazing, and it sounds like everything that I would love to play in a time waster game. And... yeah.
I mean, the main loop is you have to get certain items to initiate dance battles with wild ooblets.
Mm.
And then once you win the battle after giving it the items it needs, it gives you a seed, which you take back to your farm and you plant, and then now you have that monster.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That sounds about. Yeah.
So, yeah, it loops the farming and the monster collecting in real tight.
Just right there together.
Yeah, it works real well. It's just a little rough because it's early access.
Ah, gotcha.
But it's also only $20.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad, though. Yeah, I would definitely... I might have to look into that one, or maybe not, because I have work and stuff.
It's really good, though.
Yeah, I spent... my entire day, like half of it playing Carry On.
Oh, yeah.
Which maybe I'll talk about. And then the other half was Ooblets.
Yeah. Well, do you want to save the talk of Carry On for after the break? Because we're actually pretty close and we have a voicemail that we want to play before the break. Is that cool?
Or I can just save Carry On for next week.
Yeah, you know what's... yeah. Well, we're teasing. That wasn't us figuring things out on the fly. That's us teasing for next week.
I teased Paper Mario last week. This week I'm teasing Carry On.
There we go. And I guess I've teased Money Plane 2 weeks in a row. So, yeah.
Carry On like the horrible dead flesh monster, not like what you would bring on a plane.
Not like my wayward son.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we actually have a couple of voicemails this week. We usually save them for the end of the show, but this one that we have is actually a song request. So let's go ahead and play it, and then we will take a break.
Take it away, Craig.
Hi, guys. Hey, this is Craig from the Hilltop. Love the show. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Hey, listen, I heard a song the other day called I'm Going Shopping by Hartnell & Young. It's... very apropos for the situation that we're all in right now. I think you'll enjoy it. My friend Joe actually discovered it, and I'm passing it on to you. I think you'll find it to be on fleek. Keep up the great work, guys. I've always wanted to say this. Pizza out.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah, let's well Craig from the Hilltop.
If that is your real name.
If that is your real name. We'll go ahead and play that song and then we'll come back and we'll get into our news. All right, we're back. That was I'm Going Shopping by Hartnell & Young. Again, requested by Craig from the Hilltop. You know, there was something about that guy's voice. Sounded familiar.
Oddly familiar.
Oddly familiar.
We had a guest on once that talked about baseball. Kind of sounded like this guy.
A little bit. I mean, I Oh, well, whatever. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into some of our news.
Thanks, Hilltop Craig.
Top stories.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. Hi, welcome to 2006. This is Anchorman references.
All right, so hey, let's go ahead and start talking about some of this news stuff.
Before there was memes, that's what we did.
We made references to Anchorman, yeah.
Specifically, just Anchorman.
Brick killed a guy.
And you about killed me.
I about killed Cody, so yeah.
Let's talk about Nintendo Directs.
Let's do that, since we mentioned it at the top of the show. So last week's show, we said, hey, Nintendo hasn't had a Direct in a long time, and... Yeah.
Specifically, they don't have any announced first-party games that have release dates.
Yeah, and literally the day that the episode went live on the internet, Nintendo also had a Nintendo Partner Direct.
Notice the word partner in there.
Yeah, so no first-party games.
Nope.
So no Marios.
No Zeldas.
No Zeldos. No Metroids.
Captain Falcon wasn't even there.
Oh, man. I would love a new F-Zero game.
I was talking about that the other day, and, like, I would too, but, like, what would you do with it?
You go fast. Well, in like, circle. You play Big Blue.
You play the good music play, you go fast.
You go fast, you have, yeah, you get boost power.
Like, if they just ported the GameCube one.
That'd be fine.
That'd be fine. They should just do that.
Or make a completely new game starring Captain Falcon.
Yeah.
Turn him into the Kamen Rider knockoff that everybody wants him to be.
Oh, man. I just thought about that video game, Galloping Ghost.
Oh, the F-Zero arcade game?
Yes.
Oh, it rules.
Oh, yeah?
It's what the GameCube version is based on, mm-hmm. except you sit in a seat that moves while you play it.
Oh,
like
that is so cool.
Like your own little car.
Like, it moves a lot, too. Well, it tilts to the side. Like, it rules.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds so cool.
There we go. VR.
Yeah.
That's where you put F-Zero. You go real fast, you throw up.
Yep. You make it a Nintendo Labo exclusive. Yeah. You strap your cardboard and hat on, and then you go real fast and just vomit all over your living room.
They could make a special one that looks like Captain Falcon's helmet.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. You can draw little, like, white eyes on the outside of it.
But the last Mario Kart game kind of ate F-Zero's launch.
It did, especially since the Big Blue ended up in there.
Yeah, and it has the anti-gravity driving.
Yeah, it kind of already did that thing.
So, yeah, they'd have to come up. I know people don't, like, you don't need to come up with a gimmick, but, like...
You need a gimmick.
They also don't need to make the same game again. Like,
yeah. Well, then you get into that same loop. Make something new, except in the cases when you make something new, and then you want exactly what you had before.
Yeah.
It is the plight of every game player.
Especially Nintendo games.
Especially Nintendo games, yes. Anyway, let's talk about this Partner Direct, because why not?
Yeah, we wanted a Direct. We got one. But this one is distinctly devoid of Nintendo content.
Yes. Well,
except for Zelda indie game.
Yes, the indie game that happens to have Legends of Zelda in it.
Yeah, Cadence of Hyrule is getting 3 DLC packs.
Yes.
This is great.
One is out already.
Yeah. This is great because Cadence of Hyrule is great,
mm-hmm.
and more of it is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good game. I remember playing the original. I've never played Cadence of Hyrule, but I've played Crypt of the NecroDancer, and it's fun. I like it.
I've only played Cadence of Hyrule.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I've never played Crypt of the NecroDancer.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm glad to see this getting a couple of DLCs, because it's a neat little indie game.
I like seeing Nintendo play with indie developers this way.
I do, too.
It's
yeah.
interesting to get fresh people that are not part of Nintendo on Nintendo properties. That's very interesting.
Yes, yes. Okay, next up was WWE 2K Battlegrounds.
We talked about this one before, I think.
Did we?
I put it on the docket one time. I don't know if we actually talked about it now that I think about it.
I don't think we talked about it.
It's the stopgap wrestling game between real wrestling games because they took a year off from the official wrestling game franchise. What is
it? Yeah, something like that.
WWE year.
Year, whatever.
Yeah, is usually what they come out with, but they took a year off because the last one was a hot mess.
Was cold booger on a paper plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, it has a lot of like classic wrestlers, and they all look like deformed action figures.
It's not a great look, to be honest. I'm not really a fan.
No, I'm not a huge fan either, but the trailer, like they had a gameplay trailer with a bunch of WWE wrestlers pretending to play the game, and Asuka was just trying her hardest.
She was having a good time.
She was having a very good time.
But she wasn't in the... featured in the game, yeah, which I thought was bizarre.
That's weird. I think she was playing Andre the Giant, oddly enough.
Good choice.
Yeah, I mean, sure, yeah. But yeah, it's weird that I'm sure she's in the game.
Yeah, she's,
but
she's on the box art, I think.
Yeah.
But they didn't show... They must not be done with Asuka yet. They're having trouble with the...
green mist?
Yeah, the mist mechanics.
That's it, yeah. But no, those wrestlers look like they were having just a... fun time. I don't know who some of them were.
They actually had to reprogram Becky Lynch from scratch because the mist just deleted her entire...
It just deleted her
all
entire...
All the assets.
Just everything. Yeah. Yeah.
It set the game back 6 months.
Yeah.
No, I'm making things up.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So next up is Rogue Company.
It's a weird third person shooter.
That's exactly, yeah.
Online first person shooter. It kind of has an Overwatch thing going on.
Kinda.
But it's third person. It's by the people who made famous Overwatch ripoff Paladins.
That's right. Yes, they did make Paladins. Well, this game's not going to be very good then.
Paladins is actually fine.
Oh, it's fine? Okay.
Yeah. This might be good, but it also isn't free to play yet. It's going to be free to play, but right now you got to give them $15, and I'm not... It's out now, by the way.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I'm not... I don't want to make that jump if I don't know if it's good or not.
Yeah.
Also, it's not particularly exciting looking.
It's super not my type of game, yeah. So I will be not picking this one up.
It just seems kind of generic so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they could do something neat with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. And then the final two, and I'm going to link these two together because they are part of the same series, Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne, which is an older game, is getting an HD remaster for the Switch. And they also finally, after like 2 or 3 or maybe 4 years of radio silence, they dropped some information about the new game in the series, Shin Megami Tensei 5. This series I know nothing about, so Cody.
Shin Megami Tensei is the JRPG franchise that the Persona games came from.
Okay.
It's like a... How do you describe Shin Megami Tensei? It's almost like monster collecting, kind of, but all the monsters are weird demons and yokai and stuff. All
right.
And also just a JRPG that most of them take place like in a post-apocalyptic Tokyo where there are demons everywhere.
3 definitely looked like it's post-apocalyptic. 5 did not seem that way so much.
But their settings are really bizarre.
Okay.
It's basically like a modern Japan, but there's demons messing it up.
Ah, all right.
It's really... not like anything else. It's hard to compare it to something because it's so like weirdly unique.
Okay.
But all the monsters that are in Shin Megami Tensei are also the monsters that are in Persona. They share beasteries, I guess. They're all good games. They're weird. They're monster collecting. You can also talk to the monsters and convince them to join your team.
Oh,
as well, as just fighting them. They have weird stories with a lot of choices,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of like a morality system.
Interesting.
They're really neat games. I've really only played like 4, I think.
I've heard 1 is very difficult to play.
Yeah, well, the first two, 1 is like a NES game, 2 is a Super Nintendo game. They're both those first-person dungeon crawly games where you really got to be like drawing maps and whatnot.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So they're not beginner-friendly at all.
Okay.
In this day and age. But if you go straight to 4, which was a 3DS game, it's pretty approachable. 3 I've never played, and weirdly was thinking about starting. But now that they're doing the HD remaster, I'm just going to wait.
Just wait. Well, you have a year.
Yeah.
You have a year until these two games come out, so.
But yeah, Shin Megami Tensei 5 was a Switch launch announcement.
Announcement. And then nothing.
And now we still have another year.
Yeah.
Or two. I forget what it said.
Well, at least they, yeah, it's a sometime in 2021 is what they said for 5. And at least they didn't drop the game.
Yeah.
At least it's
they take their time over there at Atlas. Persona 5 was originally supposed to come out in like 2015 or something.
It's like Atlas doesn't like money.
It, well, you kind of, as a whole, they don't print very many copies of any of their games they make.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, they make most of their money in Japan, so...
Well, that's true.
We're an afterthought here in America.
That's true.
But it was cool to... This was probably the coolest thing in this Partner Direct, which really isn't saying a whole lot.
This one was a real kind of a small, kind of 8-minute little thing.
Yeah.
The big one's going to be the first party one that I bet here in the next week or two.
God, I hope so. We'll probably get...
Yeah, yeah. It would be pretty great.
I wish they would confirm or deny those Super Mario remakes that everybody is so darn sure are going to happen.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
It's like, not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone's so gung-ho that these are real, because I'll believe it when I see it, is my opinion on these remasters.
Yeah, the remasters, it's for the Mario 64.
And Mario Sunshine, possibly. Kind of maybe like a Mario All-Stars thing, but with the three old 3D ones. I don't...
That doesn't sound right.
It really doesn't.
I mean, the rumor sounds like that's correct, but it doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would love... If it is true, yeah, that'd be great.
It'd be awesome, but
it just seems fishy to me. It just doesn't seem like something they would do.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's talk about one non-video game thing before we jump back in with the Xbox showcase. What would you like to talk about? Are there any other non-video game things? Disney delays,
that's fun and exciting.
That's fun and exciting with something we should talk about. Disney's delaying all of their stuff.
Because we live in a post-movie society.
Yep.
all, you know, those... 4 other Avatar movies they were making?
Nope.
No? Well, they were, and now they're all delayed.
Oh, my gosh.
And all those Star Wars movies they were making? I didn't know they were, but they were. Well, they're delayed, too.
Oh, wow. Okay. But how am I going to know what happens on the planet of the Na'vi underwater, which I guess was supposed to be Avatar 2?
Wow.
The Titanic.
Wow, that is really self-serving on James Cameron's part.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So we're getting the sea ponies of the Avatar people.
Yep, that's right. There's a whole underwater aquatarian society.
There's blue sea cats, and you're not going to believe it.
You're not going to believe how wet they are. Those wet cats. Those wet, wet catmans. Yeah, boy, this is awfully bold of Disney to cancel and delay movies that haven't even been announced yet.
Yeah. It's bold of them to think anybody wants to see that many Avatar movies.
Listen, they have to justify their entire Avatar land in the Magic Kingdom. They have to.
It looks boring. It looks so boring.
It looks so incredibly boring.
I've seen a lot of stuff from it, and it's all dumb.
Yep. And there's no walk around Na'vi.
Yeah, because they can't do it right. They can't make them however foot tall they are and have it not look dumb.
So they just say, oh yeah, no, this is a settlement that humans moved into.
And all the Na'vi are not here right now.
They're on vacation.
Yeah, they they went to Universal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they're all at Harry Potter Land. But along with these delays, they also delayed Mulan, which is something I, oddly enough, I'm actually kind of bummed.
Yeah, it looked kind of cool.
It looked kind of cool, and it looked like they were doing something different.
Yeah, and this one they didn't put it. The other ones they had like dates on, kind of. This one they just took it off.
Yeah.
So it's up in the air right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, who knows? But you know what wasn't canceled and or delayed? The New Mutants. Still holding strong with its fifth or maybe seventh release date of August 28th.
Maybe it'll do really well because it'll be the only movie you can see in a theater.
Hey, everyone. Go risk life and limb for this movie that was filmed 5 years ago.
Remember the before time? This is from before that.
Yeah.
Black Widow also got pulled like Mulan to nebulous future date.
At least with those movies, we know they're going to come out eventually. They spent too much money.
Yeah. Black Widow, the movie that should have came out 10 years ago, is being delayed further.
Yes. But as long as they keep delaying this movie, it means Scarlett Johansson can't move on to other projects where she plays minorities.
It's true.
She can't reprise her role as Makoto Kusanagi.
She can't try to play a trans person in a movie and then everybody gets mad because that's an awful idea.
Yeah. Boy, do you think it's on purpose or do you think it's complete happenstance?
I don't know. When they announced that she wanted to play this trans person role, it seemed like a joke. Hey, ScarJo, you're a good actress, but stay in your lane, huh?
yeah, that is the goal. That is the
You were real good in Jojo Rabbit. So how about do like that?
yeah. All right, so hey, anyway, let's go ahead and wrap things up with the Xbox showcase. There's a few more games with this one.
Yeah, this one was kind of a big deal.
It was. I mean, this would have been their E3.
Usually, Microsoft's E3 is the most boring one.
It kind of is.
But I felt like this was pretty good. Some neat stuff in there.
Yeah.
There was a new Halo, which, you know, doesn't personally excite me, but like, apparently a lot of people really like this Halo thing.
People are real into that Halos, and...
I think I might just be too old. Because I was watching some of the pre-show with old man Jeff Keighley and a bunch of YouTube children.
Yeah.
And these YouTube children were very excited and were going on about how they grew up playing Halo.
Oh,
and
God.
Then all my bones turned to dust.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Oh,
but I'm like, wow, Halo means a lot to these people. I didn't realize.
Well, I mean, I guess Halo for them would be like
Doom
for us or Mario for us, kind of. Yeah.
Who knew? It kind of blew my mind. Like,
okay, you want me to really freak you out? One day, that's going to be someone saying Fortnite was very formative in my.
You are absolutely right. That's a lot of people's first shooter.
Yes, it is. And oh boy, that is the point where I'm just going to pack it in.
Well, I'm done.
I'm moving to a cabin in the woods. I'm done.
I'm putting all my consoles on the curb.
Yep, just, I fold, I'm out.
The indie games of the Fortnite generation are going to be something.
Just the pits. They are just going to be awful, aren't they?
See, my indie game age group, we were all trying to make Mario again.
Yeah.
This is going to be a bunch of kids trying to capture Fortnite again.
Oh.
But anyway, we're getting way off topic.
Yep, like the old people that we are, we are getting right off topic. Some of the other things. I'm looking at a list. Okay, Fable?
Fable's good. That's a good franchise. I played at least two of them.
Yeah?
It's a fun fantasy RPG with a uniquely British flair that makes it funny and interesting.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
I'd recommend picking up the old ones and checking them out if it interests you. I think they're on Game Pass if you've got that.
Yeah, okay.
Which is another thing about this this thing every game they showed is going to be on Game Pass day and date when it comes out.
See, that's really cool. That's really, really cool.
This is what Microsoft has on every other company, is if you sign up for Game Pass, which is their Netflix for video games, you have just like so much content.
Yeah. All right. So next up, Avowed, which is the... It's like Skyrim, but from the people who did Outer Worlds.
Yes. And Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an Elder Scrolls game that has a chance of having good writing. So, yeah, sign me up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, totally.
I mean, they do Bethesda better than Bethesda does.
Yeah.
Outer Worlds was more entertaining than Fallout, and Fallout New Vegas was better than all of the Fallouts that Bethesda made.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Tetris Effect Connected.
This is
Tetris 99 for Xbox?
No, it's not. It's Tetris Effect was a PlayStation exclusive that is Tetris with funky visuals.
Okay.
And neat music. And this is just that, but with like more multiplayer features and different Tetris stuff. I don't know. Tetris is good. Can't go wrong with Tetris.
Yeah, no, you can't go wrong with Tetris.
Friend of the show, Chris Bidwell, and former Nintendo World Tour finalist, is briefly in the trailer for this one, too.
He is briefly in the trailer, and that's pretty cool.
I mean, it's Tetris. I don't know what you can say about it.
It's
Tetris that looks neat.
Yeah, you have the L shapes, and you have the squares, and you have the long lines.
It looked like some of the pieces are, like, extra big.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
There's got to be other stuff in there. There was that... Obsidian also had that Grounded game, which is, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the game.
Yeah, it did.
It looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fight bugs.
Forza is going to be 4K 60 FPS.
I've said this for years, but they need to move on. It's time for Fivesa.
That joke, it ages like a fine wine.
Every time.
Every single time.
I cannot resist.
And it's wonderful every time.
It's a car game that's pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have at least one on your system. There it is.
They love cars. Was that the Forza guy, or was that... There was, like, a clip of them asking, like, one of the devs why they're working on these games or why they keep going back, and his response was, I love cars!
It could have been, or it could have been Gran Turismo. I don't know.
I think it was one of the two.
The thing about the Forza games is they actually finish them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Gran Turismo games are, like, a once-in-a-blue-moon event.
Yeah.
That Rare game.
Rareware.
Game. Oh, I forget what it was called, but it was
not on the list that I have pulled up in front of me.
It was kind of Zelda-y looking and interesting. The trailer had no gameplay whatsoever, but Rare does good.
They do good.
They did a good pirate. Now they do a good medieval and magic one.
Yeah. We have State of Decay 3. It just looks like a zombie game.
Yeah. Whatever. I didn't play the other ones because zombie games don't
Everwild.
Everwild.
That's the
rare
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Ori and the Will of the Wisps?
It's just a remaster of a game that's not even very old.
Okay.
But it's going to look real nice if you get that Xbox One Series X. Boy, that's a mouthful.
It really is.
There was a new one by the Life is Strange people that looked very much in their purview of games.
Is that the one As Dusk Falls?
No.
Okay.
It was... I just read what it was called.
Tell Me Why.
It's some sort of dramatic story about a brother and sister. It's going to be a cinematic choice-making type of game like they make. And
probably, yeah.
They haven't done a bad one yet, so...
Yeah. Let me just finish the list. But so...
It looked like Life is Strange 3. I thought, you know, oh, look, it's going to be Life is Strange 3. But no, they put a different name on it this time.
There's a game called The Gunk.
That looked fun.
Yeah.
It's by Image and Form, the people who do the Steambot.
Mm-hmm.
Steam World games, and they usually do a good job. This one looked like you were some kind of space girl cleaning Luigi's Mansion messes on planets.
That's kind of what it looked like. Yeah.
I mean, that looks fun.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one I think we should mention is Phantasy Star Online 2.
To New Genesis. So it looks like a huge expansion or some kind of reworking of Phantasy Star Online 2.
Good, because I hear it needs it.
Yeah. It's hard to get into. I was really super excited about Phantasy Star Online 2, but like there's just so much that it's just hard to get into.
Yeah.
Like you're tripping into like probably a decade's worth of Japanese old Japanese content that is not sifted through very well.
Ah, gotcha.
At one time there was probably less features and they got added on as the game ran.
And now you're being just thrown right into it.
Yeah. I wanted to like it so bad and I was so excited for it. And it just feels impossible to navigate.
Well, now is your chance. It sounds like they're going to try to rework it or something.
Yeah. Cause so it definitely cool. needs some sort of new onboarding experience.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, before we get out of here, we actually have one other voicemail. So let's open the old Nerd Overload mailbag.
Mailbag day! Mailbag day! Hey, everybody, it's mailbag day!
I forgot that you said you added that to the board.
Surprise!
I think we used that clip way back in the day, too.
Yep. That's right. That's why it doesn't sound great. I'm using the same old clip. Anyway, we have a voicemail from our good buddy Jerry.
All right. Hey, gang. This is Jerry. I'm looking at your webpage. It says, Nerd Overload, a Buck Wild Geek Culture radio show. But the I in Buck Wild is missing.
Pausing it right there. I have fixed that.
I can't believe none of us ever noticed it.
I know, right? Yeah. But no, that is fixed now. Moving on.
And I just want to let you know, I did not take it. But it's missing. You might want to go revisit, try to put the eye back in there.
That's a good question. Okay. Who did?
Who Let's did take the eye?
I promise, I will give you some Josh-isms. Okay.
Ooh, good. I like
play.
This.
Josh's absence, something that he might say. Let's see, the first one would be, well, you're not wrong. And the next one would be, well, that's a slippery slope. And you're going to need a disclaimer. Your first disclaimer will be celebrity voices impersonated. Now, I'm pretty sure one of you could do this better than I can, but I'll give you an example. You have to say it fast, and you have to sound important. So it's celebrity voices impersonated, or celebrity voices impersonated.
Okay,
you have to say it fast, and you have to sound important. You have to give it a little lilt here and there. Okay, you radio guys, you know that already. All right, so that covers those two things. Oh, the fart noises that Cody wanted. Okay,
here we go. I don't remember saying I wanted any.
I gotta do my wanted exercises. I know my fart noises aren't sound like this, but it's my process. If you can understand that. La 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 la, lee lee lee, lee la, la la la. Beautiful battle of the deer. Beautiful battle of the deer. All right, here goes. Ready? Fart noise number one.
And that's where it stopped.
We've appeared to have lost.
We seem
lost
to have
him.
lost the clip there. But thank you, Jerry, for the voicemail and letting us into your process. When you're practicing for these voices, really do appreciate it.
We have new warm-up exercises to try before we do the show now.
Yes. Before we would just ramble for like a half hour, but now I like the la 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 la. I like that. That's good. That's good stuff.
Also, we don't need to do a disclaimer now. He just did it for us.
You did it for us. Yeah, you're adding all. By the time we're done, this is going to be the Jerry board. So anyway, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up for the week. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can also check out all of our social medias, whether that be Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, or the bad website Twitter at Nerd Overload Now.
We need a Josh voice clip right here.
We do.
I know, right?
You can also email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Or you can leave us a message on our very popular voicemail. Just give us a call at 586-372-8020 and let us know what's your favorite video game.
Yeah, that's a good easy one.
Just out of all of them.
Yep, just the best one of the bunch. Anyway, you can also find all of our back...
Super Mario Brothers 3 is the correct answer, but we'll
okay, fair enough, fair enough. you can find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And lastly, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Where is Banjo, Microsoft?
Banjo!
Why do we hurt the ones we love?